sold? Perhaps. We're talking about storied U.S. steel. It's the business news headlines for Monday, the 18th day of December. Thanks for being with us again today. In other news, Southwest Airlines to pay a big fine, and we'll tell you why. More tragedy involving the nursing home industry made the news. Can we talk about the economy yet again? We've got the Wall Street Report and the decision by Apple to pull sales of the latest Apple Watch. Why? We'll tell you. For the interview, the spiritual journey of musician James Goodlett as he not only builds his business but also helps others. It's a great story from a profoundly gifted musician. But first, the news.
Insight on Business News and Comment with Michael Libby is made possible through the support of Tarot International, the premier interpersonal skills, research, and corporate training company. Achieve, lead, and outclass with Tarot, TERO.com. Focus and Find, a high-level, socially responsible search firm helping major corporations in their search for diverse talent, FocusandFind.com. Funding also comes from the National Tractor Parts Dealer Association, an international organization supporting the new and used agricultural and construction parts industry. Learn more at ntpda.com.
Thank you, Hunter Pease, and welcome to this, the Monday edition of the Business News Headlines. I'm your host, Michael Libby. Grateful, as always, that you've decided to spend some time with us learning about some of the big business news stories of the day. Want to reach us on X? You can find us at IOB_NewsHour. Over on Threads, it's Insight on Business. And our Facebook page is out there as well, Insight on Business, the News Hour. U.S. Steel came online way back in 1901. It was the creation of J.P. Morgan and Andrew Carnegie. Over the years, it defined steel production in America. Well, now U.S. Steel has agreed to be purchased by Nippon Steel of Japan, and in doing so will become one of the largest steel producers in the world. The Associated Press is reporting that the transaction is worth about $14.9 billion when including the assumption of debt. The price tag for U.S. Steel is nearly double what was offered just 4 months ago by rival Cleveland-Cliffs U.S. Steel, which was a rejected offer. U.S. Steel will keep its name and its headquarters in Pittsburgh, where it was founded, and will become a subsidiary of Nippon Steel. According to the World Steel Association, China and Chinese companies have come to dominate global steel production. Of the nearly 2 billion metric tons of steel produced annually across the globe, about 54% comes from China. China's Baowu Group, a state-owned iron company based in Shanghai, churned out nearly 120 million metric tons of steel back in 2021. The combined Nippon and U.S. steel companies will produce less than 90 million metric tons of steel combined, with most of that coming from Nippon. In 2022, U.S. Steel produced about 14.5 million tons. The U.S. currently ranks number 4 behind China, India, and Japan, and the blast furnace steel plants operated by U.S. Steel are among the more costly to operate compared with more modern facilities that melt down scrap using arc furnaces. But U.S. steel plants with blast furnaces remain integral to U.S. manufacturing, particularly automakers. Southwest Airlines has agreed to pay a fine of $35 million as part of a $140 million settlement to resolve a federal investigation into a travel mess back in December of last year when the airline canceled thousands of flights and stranded more than 2 million travelers over the holidays. Most of the settlement will go toward compensating future passengers, which the U.S. Department of Transportation considers an incentive for Southwest to avoid repeating last winter's mess. The government said the assessment was the largest it has ever imposed on an airline for violating consumer protection laws. It was a muted day on Wall Street as investors heard from Fed officials that it was way too soon to be talking about rate cuts. To that end, oil rose, as did Treasury yields. Those closing numbers are coming at you in just a bit. Just as our aging population is requiring more nursing home care, the nursing home industry is in a state of crash and burn. A partly personal side note. I spent 10 years in the long-term healthcare industry as the president and CEO of the largest continuing care retirement community in the state of Iowa. We had 610 residents and 400 employees. And I tend to pay attention to the declining care issues residents of nursing homes are experiencing on a daily basis. We just learned today that the largest skilled nursing facility in St. Louis has closed suddenly, forcing about 170 residents to be bused to other care centers, many left with nothing but the clothes they were wearing. The Associated Press is reporting that the abrupt shutdown of Northview Village Nursing Home on Friday came after workers learned they may not get paid and they walked out, confusing residents and their relatives. Many family members gathered throughout the day on Saturday outside the facility. Some didn't immediately know where their loved ones were taken. The difficulties started Friday when, according to the union representing workers, more than 130 people went unpaid, and it became unclear if their checks would be forthcoming. Northview Village has been fined 12 times for federal violations since March of 2021. That's according to the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. Fines total over $140,000 and ranged from $2,200 to more than $45,000. The federal agency gives Northview a 1-star rating out of a possible 5, but does not spell out reasons for the fines. Meanwhile, here in Iowa, we're seeing nursing homes close or also being fined for not caring for the residents. And in one case, there was an alleged sexual misconduct by an employee to a resident that was allegedly covered up by the institutions, and now, just now, coming to light. It is a sad state of affairs that impacts the most vulnerable in every single state, and legislators seem to be powerless to address it. For nearly 2 years, we've been reporting on what the experts were saying was going to happen to the U.S. economy. In a word, it was headed toward a deep recession. But there has been a but about all of this. The Washington Post is reporting that as 2023 winds to a close, Jerome Powell and his colleagues at the central bank are far from declaring victory on inflation. They routinely caution that their actions could be thwarted by any number of threats, from war in the Middle East to China's economic slowdown. Americans are upset with the high cost of rent, groceries, and other basics, which aren't going back to pre-pandemic levels at least anytime soon. The White House, too, is quick to emphasize that much work remains. Yet, the economy is ending the year in a remarkably better position than almost anyone on Wall Street or in mainstream economics had predicted, having bested just about all expectations time and time again. Inflation has dropped to 3.1% from a peak of 9.1%. The unemployment rate is at a hot 3.7%, and the economy grew at a healthy clip in the most recent quarter. The Fed has probably finished hiking interest rates and is eyeing cuts perhaps as early as May of next year. Financial markets are at or near all-time highs, and the S&P 500 could hit a new record this week as well. The Fed and the White House fought inflation on their own distinct tracks using entirely different tools, but now the central bankers, Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen, and President Biden's Economic Brain Trust are cautiously pointing out that they have been vindicated by data and developments dismissed as virtually impossible until quite recently. This month, Biden's typically staid Treasury Secretary gave an unusually direct rebuke, telling reporters that economists who predicted that lower inflation would require widespread layoffs are now, quote, eating their words, end quote. So let's talk about the economy. The major indexes all closed in the green, but barely. The Dow was up by just a fraction to close at 37,306 as the blue chips dove up and down the flat line all day long. The Nasdaq finished the day up by 90 points to close at 14,904, and the S&P 500 picked up 21 points to end the trade at 4740. U.S. Steel rose by a whopping 26%, gaining over $10 a share to close at $49.59 a share over the news of the purchase by Nippon Steel. Also gaining were Meta and Alphabet stocks. At news time, West Texas Intermediate crude was up by $1.07 at $72.50 a barrel, and the 10-year T-note yield was up a bit to 3.933%. And finally, there is this, and this is about a preemptive decision from Apple. Apple is pulling the Apple Watch Series 9 and Apple Watch Ultra 2 from its website and stores this week over an ongoing intellectual property battle with medical technology firm Masimo. Masimo maintains that Apple, which had previously explored a partnership and even a takeover, violated its blood oxygen tech patent. The U.S. International Trade Commission agreed with Masimo back in October, and the Biden administration, which can overrule the decision during the review period that ends on December 25, has not yet stepped in. Apple has said it strongly disagrees with the order and is pursuing a range of legal and technical options to ensure that Apple Watch is available to its customers. Wow. All right, stay with us and click ahead to listen to a conversation with a very talented James Goodlett from Jam Good Productions. It is a great story in so many different ways. And thanks for listening.